Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building one of the most iconic sounds in drum and bass, a Reese bass, but with a twist. We're not just making it fat and static, we're turning it into a pad-modulated Reese system in Ableton Live 12, so it evolves, breathes, and shifts in a really musical way. This is the kind of sound that sits right at home in jungle, old-school D&B, dark rollers, and those atmospheric breakdown-to-drop moments that hit hard. Now, before we touch any devices, let's set the mindset. A classic Reese bass is all about motion. It usually comes from slightly detuned oscillators creating that moving, beating texture. But for this lesson, we're adding a second layer of behavior, slow, pad-like modulation. So instead of the bass just sounding aggressive, it feels haunted, alive, and a little cinematic. That's the vibe. A good starting tempo is somewhere between 160 and 174 BPM. If you want that classic old-school feel, 170 BPM is a really safe sweet spot. Keys like F minor, G minor, or a minor work beautifully because they keep things dark without getting too muddy. Let's start building the instrument. Create a new MIDI track and load Waveitable. Waveitable is a great choice here because it's flexible, clean, and easy to control. You could absolutely do this with Operator, Analog, or Drift 2, but Waveitable gives us a lot of control for the Reese core. Initialize the patch so you're starting from a blank slate. Now for the core Reese. Set oscillator 1 to a saw wave, and set oscillator 2 to a saw wave as well. Slightly detune oscillator 2 from oscillator 1. You don't want dramatic detune here. Just enough to create that alive, beating movement. If you want a little more width, you can use a very small amount of unison, maybe 2 or 3 voices, but keep it subtle. The classic mistake is going too wide too soon. We want character, not a blurred mess. A good balance is to keep OSC 1 at full level and bring OSC 2 down a little, maybe minus 3 to minus 6 dB. Both oscillators can sit around the same octave, usually one octave down for that sub-mid Reese body. That gives you the thick, gritty center of the sound. Now, Reese bass without sub can feel weak, especially in D&B, so we need a proper sub layer. You can do this inside the same instrument if Waveitable's subsection works well for you, or you can layer a separate operator or drift on another track with a clean sine wave. The main thing is this: keep the sub centered and mono. The sub should support the bass, not fight it. If you're using utility at the end of the chain, this is a good place to make sure the low end stays centered. In club music, especially jungle and old-school D&B, a wide sub is usually a problem. It sounds exciting in headphones, but it falls apart on a bigger system, so keep that foundation tight. Next, let's shape the tone with filtering. Add auto filter after the synth. Set it to a low-pass 24 dB mode. Start with a cutoff somewhere around 150 to 400 Hz depending on how bright the patch feels. Add just a touch of resonance, maybe 10 to 20%, and a little drive if the sound needs more attitude. Here's the important part. Don't think of the filter as just a static tone control. Think of it as movement. In old school jungle, the bass often feels like it's opening up and closing over time. That breathing quality is part of the emotion. So as you build your track, automate the cutoff slowly across phrases. Close in the intro, opening a bit before the drop, then moving subtly during the drop. We're not trying to do huge EDM sweeps here. We're aiming for controlled tension. Now for the real heart of this lesson. Pad modulation. When I say pad modulation, I mean giving the Reese a slow-moving, atmospheric layer of motion. There are a couple ways to do this in Ableton Live 12. One way is to use modulation directly inside the device. If your chosen device supports it, map a slow LFO to the filter cutoff, Waveitable position, detune, chorus amount, or stereo movement. Keep the rate very slow, sync to something like half notes, one bar, or even slower. Use a smooth sine or triangle shape. The goal is a gentle wave of motion, not an obvious wobble. If you modulate the filter cutoff, the bass will feel like it's breathing. If you modulate Waveitable position, you can get a more evolving harmonic texture. If you modulate detune, the bass will feel unstable in a really cool vintage way. That said, use one or two of these at most. Too many moving parts and the sound gets blurry fast. The other, and in a lot of cases better, method is to build an actual pad layer. Create a second MIDI track and load a soft synth like Waveitable, Analog, or Drift. Make a pad sound with a long attack and long release. Use saws or sines, low pass it, and keep it mellow. Then draw in sustained notes that follow the harmony or at least the root movement of your bass line. This pad doesn't need to be loud. In fact, it should usually sit quietly underneath the Reese. What's happening here is that the pad gives the bass a harmonic aura. It can be ghostly, wide, and emotional without taking over the low end. If you high pass the pad aggressively, it leaves room for the sub and body while still adding that atmospheric drift. This is a classic trick for jungle intros and breakdowns. It makes the bass feel like it's emerging out of a fog. Now let's add some movement effects. Chorus ensemble is great if you want width and swirl. Face or flanger is great if you want something a little more haunted and vintage. Both work really well on a Reese, but keep the amount subtle. A little goes a long way here. If the bass gets too wide, it can lose focus in mono and become unstable in the mix. A good approach is to keep the effect depth low and use it more as color than as a main sound. Think 5 to 20% wet, slow rates, and minimal feedback unless you want a more obvious character. Then comes saturation. Add saturator and push it gently. You're not trying to destroy the sound, just generate harmonics so the Reese cuts through smaller speakers and feels denser in the mix. A few dB of drive can go a long way. Turn on soft clip if needed. This is one of the easiest ways to make the bass feel more finished without having to over-EQ or over-compress it. After that, use compression only lightly if needed. A compressor or glue compressor can help tame peaks, but don't squash the life out of it. D&B bass should feel thick and controlled, but still dynamic. Let the movement survive. Let the drums hit through it. Now let's program the actual bass line. Start with a 1-bar or 2-bar MIDI loop. In this style, repetition is not boring. Repetition is hypnotic. Use short notes, rests, and a bit of syncopation so the bass interacts with the breakbeat instead of just sitting on top of it. The bass should feel like it's answering the drums. If you're writing in F minor, for example, you might use notes like F1, Ab1, G1, C2, Eb1, but don't get too focused on note choice alone. In this style, note length is huge. Longer notes emphasize swirl and evolution. Shorter notes emphasize groove and call and response. Sometimes changing the note length makes more of a difference than changing the note itself. Now we bring in automation. Automate the filter cutoff first. That's your main movement. Then choose one or two secondary controls, like chorus amount, saturation drive, resonance, or detune spread. The key here is restraint. Don't make every parameter move at once. Pick one main change per section and maybe one supporting change. That keeps the bass readable against the breakbeat. A great arrangement approach is to think in sections. In the intro, keep the bass darker and more filtered. In the build, open it up slowly. In the drop, bring in the full Reese with controlled modulation. In the breakdown, maybe remove the sub and leave the mid layer and pad texture. Then, in the second drop, change the modulation speed or width so it feels like a new energy without having to redesign the whole patch. At this point, it's smart to group your chain into a rack and map your key controls to macros. This makes the sound super playable and fast to shape. Good macro assignments would be filter cutoff, filter resonance, detune, chorus amount, drive, stereo width, sub-level and modulation depth. That gives you a really flexible Reese system you can use in different parts of a tune. You can make one version darker and tighter, another wider and dirtier, and another more atmospheric for breakdowns. Now, a few important reality checks. First, check the sound in mono early. If the bass changes too much when summed to mono, simplify it. Reduce the detune, reduce the stereo effects, or keep the width only on the upper layer. Your sub should stay strong and steady. Second, let the drums win the transient fight. In old-school D&B, the kick and snare need space. If your bass is too punchy at the start of each note, shorten the envelope or soften the front edge with a little drive instead of adding more compression. The drums should still cut through clearly. Third, don't forget the low mid body. A lot of people overfocus on the sub and the top end, but that 80 to 300 Hz area is where a Reese really speaks. If you carve that out too aggressively, the bass loses its personality. If you want to push this even further, try splitting the bass into three rolls: sub, body, and top layer. Keep the sub pure and centered. Let the body carry the detuned Reese. Then add a top layer with filtered noise, chorus, or distortion for extra bite. This makes automation way easier, because each layer can move independently. Another great trick is to automate modulation rate, not just modulation depth. Instead of only opening the filter, make the motion itself change speed as the phrase progresses. That can create a really powerful lift without needing a completely different sound. You can also make the patch feel more vintage by adding tiny pitch instability or subtle oscillator drift. Keep it very gentle. You want it to feel like hardware breathing, not like obvious vibrato. Now, here's a quick practical exercise. Build a 4-bar Reese loop in F minor. Use Waveitable for the core, auto filter, saturator and chorus ensemble. Add a soft pad layer underneath with a slow attack and release. Then automate the following, Keep the filter more closed in bar 1. Open it slightly in bar 2. Widen the chorus a bit in bar 3, and increase saturation or resonance in bar 4. Test the whole thing against a breakbeat at around 170 BPM. Then render it to audio and compare that original with the resampled version. That resampling step is important. Once the sound is printed, you can chop it, reverse little sections, pitch fragments, and create those classic jungle-style fills and transitions. That's where a lot of the magic happens. Old-school DNB often feels alive because the bass isn't just repeating, it's being edited like part of the arrangement. So, to wrap this up, a great pad-modulated Reis in Ableton Live 12 is all about balance. Detuned saws for the core, mono sub for the foundation, slow modulation for movement, subtle saturation and modulation effects for character, and smart automation to make it feel like a phrase, not just a sound.